It's Food Mensch time. Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Food Mensch Arthur Schwartz on Robin Hood Radio. Hello, Food Mensch. Hello, Arthur Schwartz. How are you?
Hello, I'm okay. I'm good enough.
Good. That's
and
the start.
Although still suffering like everybody else with the heat, which is pretty nauseating, literally, and looking for ways out, food-wise. So I did sandwiches. I think we talked about sandwiches last week. I'm sure I did not exhaust that subject because it can go on forever. But today, I was, you know, this all started, my searching through my files for like recipes. This all started with Bert Green's ziti salad, which I did not honor this 4th of July, this past 4th of July, as I almost always have for the last 30 years, by making it and talking about Bert, who was a great man with great stories and wrote several books in which these stories appear, including, I guess it was the first one, it was called The Store in Amagansett. Amagansett is a town in the Hamptons, and Bert had what I would say is maybe the first sophisticated takeout store in the world, certainly in the U.S. I mean, in France they have these places, in Italy they have these places, but Bert opened one in Amagansett where there were a lot of rich people, including famous people, summering. Bert passed away 30 years or something ago, and so that's long, long gone. It was even long gone when he passed away. But he did write a book. He, with his then business partner, whose name was Dennis Vaughn, if I'm remembering, they wrote the book called The Store. Anyway, I think this recipe is in The Store cookbook, but it's also in my files, and it is also all over the Internet if you do a search, and there are various variations on it. But it's a ziti salad, that is, meaning macaroni salad, that is so good, my niece calls it crack salad because she can't stop eating it if I make it. Now, the secret ingredient here is, I've talked about this on the air many, many times, but I'm doing it all over again. The main ingredient, not main ingredient by long shot, but the secret ingredient is something really bad called G. Washington seasoning and whatever. The first ingredient is salt. The second ingredient is MSG. And the only thing that is identifiable in the ingredient list is onion powder, I guess it was. But whatever, it's supposed to have a beef taste. Who knows? I use it only in this, and I have used up my little box of it that I bought a number of years ago, and I needed to buy more. You cannot find it anywhere in where I shop. And as one of my supermarket cashiers said to me, you have to go to a poor neighborhood to find that product, because it really is fake bouillon. In any case, I do use it, and I bought more, and I now have a lifetime supply, but because I hardly ever make this. Once a year I do it. And then if you make the full recipe, you only need two of, I think there are eight little packets in the box. Anyway, the basis of this salad is a very intense dressing. And I'd only make a half at a time because I don't want to commit to a full pound of macaroni salad with all these other additions as well. It comes out to a huge amount of macaroni salad. So a half amount for this fabulous macaroni salad is 3/4 cup of mayonnaise and 1/4 cup or a rounded 1/4 cup of sour cream. And you blend those two together with your packet of Washington mix. I put in quite a bit of ground black pepper, and then the real ingredients. A half of a small red onion, minced as fine as you can make it, a small shallot, minced as fine as you can make it, half of a red pepper, if it's a biggish red pepper, maybe not a whole half, but anyway, about at least a half a cup of minced red pepper. I like another color pepper, so I put in green pepper, but if you want to put in yellow pepper, which is sweeter than green, you want to do an equal amount of the other pepper. And here's another sort of secret ingredient, gherkin pickles. So I had to go out and buy sweet gherkins because I don't keep those in the house much. And so these will last quite a bit of time, too, because you only need, like, three gherkins. I mean, it depends on the size. Some of my gherkins in the jar are bigger and smaller. I use two biggish ones and one smallish one and mince them fine and put that in the dressing, along with a tablespoon of the gherkin juice, which is sweet, and a tablespoon of red wine or other vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is very good in this, as is white wine vinegar, but not many people keep white wine vinegar around. I think more often it's red wine. And what else do I throw in there? And also a medium tomato, diced, and I think that's about it. And that's your dressing. This goes on a half a pound of ziti or other pasta. Like shells are good with this because the shells catch all the minced vegetables that are in there. That's it. This is one of the rare times where I will, in fact, run the pasta under the cold water. For pasta salads, I don't think this is a no-no. I mean, you hear people, never, never, ever. Well, yeah, sometimes if you want a cold pasta dish, it's okay to wash off the surface starch so that it doesn't all stick together before you get to dress it. In any case, you want to do that. And Bert always did something. I always think about Neapolitan cooking because they do the same thing in Naples when they're making a baked pasta. He tossed the really still warm but rinsed off a macaroni with a little milk, let's say for a half a pound of pasta, a quarter of a cup of milk, and just toss the pasta in the milk. It will absorb some of the milk, or it should absorb all the milk, before you throw it into the dressing. And that will prevent the pasta from absorbing a lot of the dressing. And you want the dressing to remain creamy. This is a great, great dressing, I got to say, with or without the G. Washington powder, because I have made it without the powder, and there's so much other stuff in there that, it's not quite crack. It's not so addictive, but it's awfully good. And actually, I made it the other day, not to put on pasta, but for its own sake, because I love the dressing, and we had cold shrimp. So we had a big bed of lettuce, wedge tomato, cold shrimp. I cook them, but it takes no time to cook shrimp, so you don't really heat up the kitchen very much. I mean, literally, a pot of water, let's say, 2 quarts of water, bring it to a boil, put in your pound of shrimp. 3 minutes later, they're cooked, fish them out, and don't rinse them, but let them cool down enough so that they don't heat up your refrigerator, and then put them in the refrigerator. So, and then we had the shrimp and that sauce, and it was really, really good, I got to say. But searching through my files to see what else I had in the way of, a theme, I didn't really need to search through my files because other things came to my mind. But searching through my files, I found a recipe that I have not made in years that I am going to actually make today. And it's, I have to say, it's a salad of spaghetti. And it's a recipe that I got from a friend who is one of the richest men in southern Italy, kind of say. And he lives in the largest house, he and his wife, who's often called the last queen of Naples. His name, by the way, is Maurizio Baracco, and his wife is Mirella Stampa Baracco. In Italy, by the way, this is interesting. Women keep their father's name. So Mirella is Mirella Stampa. But she married Baracco. And even though she is Signora Baracco, she's Mirella Stampa. Anyway, that's too confusing. In any case, they live in this enormous, enormous Villa Emma, which is next door to the presidential the president of Italy's home. This is in Posillipo in Naples. It's a gated estate with more than one building, although I've only seen the main house. And in the main house, where Mirella and Maurizio receive us, so to speak, There is a vast kitchen. I mean, I have a very large apartment. It's the size of my whole apartment, probably. But Maurizio likes to cook a little bit. And so we go down there. It is it's a late 18th century room filled with copper, dripping with copper and marble, and very grand, like you see out in a movie even. But Maurizio cooks on a hot plate by the table in the kitchen that we eat at. And he stirs his risotto. Almost always it's risotto and not pasta. But I've eaten lunch there made by the cook, too. They do have a cook. The cook, by the way, is from Sri Lanka. So sometimes there's a Sri Lankan touch to the food. And this spaghetti salad is one of those dishes, I think, that has been touched by the Sri Lankan. I have to add, though, that Mirella loves hot pepper. And even if we're just sitting at the table, even in the dining room upstairs and being served, she is given a small little plate of minced hot pepper, fresh hot pepper, usually red, so that she can put it on whatever she's eating. And believe me, she puts it on everything she's eating. So this recipe, of course, reflects her tastes, since she is the mistress of the house. And, you know, it has a lot of ingredients, but it's, you know, it's all about chopping and shredding. So this is for a pound of spaghetti, which you will cook to, you know, your taste. Quickly rinse under cold water, of course, you know, shaking the colander well so that it all drips out. And then in a large bowl, you're going to make the dressing, which is olives. You know, to say how many olives, I don't know. Depends on your olives. The recipe is given to me by Mirella and Maurizio, calls for a half a pound of large Sicilian green olives, which are easy to find, by the way. But pitting them and chopping them is a little bit of a task. And then at least a half of a large red pepper and at least a half of a large a yellow or green pepper. I like the sweet peppers, although, you know, Americans... I was always surprised to see this in this recipe because Italians don't usually eat green pepper. The yellow pepper, orange pepper, red pepper, but green pepper is an unripe pepper. So put in altogether, let's say, 1 cup of finely diced pepper of your choice. And then a large rib of celery, also diced, about a half cup. And then a pint of grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, any small tomatoes. And what you want to do with those is cut them into little pieces. I cut them across. It depends on the size of the cherry tomato, but I want small pieces, about a cup and a half, even 2 cups of cherry tomatoes. Now comes Mirella's favorite, the hot red pepper or green pepper, finely chopped, about a quarter of a cup. And herbs. We need herbs here. We need a half a cup of finely shredded basil and a quarter of a cup of finely shredded or cut flat-leaf parsley. I have to say, lately I've been snipping my herbs with a scissor, which always reminds me of my late colleague from the Daily News, Carol Brock, who taught me about that. I never thought about cutting herbs with a scissor until Carol, who was a real maven of these things, meaning kitchen tricks and hostess tricks, taught me how to do that. So it was just a nostalgia thing for me. Also, you want capers. Now, let me say, a lot of my summer salads get capers. And not the capers that you buy in the supermarket packed in vinegar, although these days you can also find salt-packed capers even in a supermarket. And those, I like them better. They're more fragrant. They're firmer. They don't have the acid of the being packed in vinegar. You just rinse them off. You put them in a little tea strainer is what I do, and rinse them. And then I put them in a little dish with cold water and let them soak for at least 15 minutes, sometimes longer, depends. Sometimes I forget that I did it, and they stay a lot longer. But anyway, salt capers are something I have to have in the kitchen all the time. And what I've taken actually to buying the most expensive capers you can buy, which are from Pantelleria, which is an island between Sicily and Tunisia. Used to be a very chic place. It probably still is. You know, like Armani had his weekend house in Pantelleria. So, and other, you know, chic people would go there. It's very hot. Anyway, in both ways, the capers from Pantelleria are famous, and you can buy them online. It was $46 for a pound. Let me say, a pound of capers, even with all the salt that takes up most of the weight, is still a lot of capers. And I'm still working on the batch that I got within the last year, but quite a number of months ago. And I use them frequently. So for this salad, for this spaghetti salad, you want at least 2 heaping tablespoons of salted capers that you've rinsed and drained. And really, I love my Pantelleria capers, but they are very large. So if you don't want to bite, I do want to bite into a large caper. But if you're afraid, you can chop them up a little bit. Now, this is a controversial ingredient. Maurizio gave me the recipe, and he said, use fontina, finely diced fontina, which is a very creamy cheese from the north of Italy. I think somewhere along the line, mozzarella got changed out for fontina, and it's because Maurizio is extremely particular about his mozzarella, and it may not always be possible to get mozzarella up to his standard, but fontina, yes. And then you want to dress it, of course, with some olive oil, at least 3 tablespoons of olive oil for this amount. I'm thinking it's going to be more like a quarter of a cup. And the one ingredient that really threw me until I remembered that the chef is Sri Lankan is 2 teaspoons of Coleman's dry mustard. Now, this may have come from somewhere else because the Baracco family, Maurizio, Mirella, and their 2 daughters, lived in Sussex, England for a while during the period that the Red Guard, do we remember the Red Guard in Italy? I guess
wasn't it the Red Brigade?
The Red Brigade, that's what it was. Yeah, and they were kidnapping rich people and killing rich people. And the Baraccos are very rich people. So they moved to England for the duration. And maybe that's where the Coleman's mustard came in. But there is 2 teaspoons, which is quite a lot, of Coleman's dry mustard sprinkled on this salad, spaghetti, whatever else is in there, all together now. And you got to, you have to toss it. First of all, you have to sprinkle it over a large surface of the spaghetti. And then you really got to toss and toss and toss. And that's, it's a very, very good dish. I'm sure that we ate this as a first course, because the Baraccos don't eat American style, like just a bowl of pasta. If we're in the dining room, we're eating several courses at least. In the kitchen, if we're eating, we're eating risotto. Gotta say, I remember one day when Maurizio made the risotto, the excuse was we have a lot of truffles. So risotto is a great thing to shave truffles on. So speaking of the capers, there is a salad that I make from the island of Pantelleria, but it's made, I think, sort of everywhere these days, but still called Insalata Pantesca. Something from Pantelleria would be Pantesca. And it is a potato salad, boiled potatoes with the same Greek olives we just talked about. Truthfully, I more often have gaeta olives in my refrigerator because I like them and I use them a lot cooking. So I don't really care what olive you use, but in Pantelleria, because it's Sicily, they're going to definitely use a Sicilian olive, not an olive like gaeta, which is from the border of Lazio and Campania, way further north. But the main ingredient in a Pantesca salad, besides the potato, is capers from Pantelleria. So here's what the proportions I would use. For about a half a pound, do we want a half a pound of potatoes? Or let's say a pound of potato. a pound of, and I would use yellow flesh potatoes for this because they use yellow flesh potatoes in Italy sometimes, or mostly. But any a white potato, a boiling potato, not a baking potato, or all-purpose potato, like Yukon Gold, of course, are perfect. So a half, a pound of those, and peel them and boil them in, you know, pieces that you want to eat, which could be big chunks, could be wedges, could be a big, you know, dice, large dice, whatever. Boil them until they're tender and drain them. And then toss them with wedges or could be cherry tomatoes, wedges of bigger tomato, or, you know, at least could even be a pint of cherry tomatoes cut into halves or, if they're really big, quarters. Some red onion. Now, a half of a small red onion should be enough. If you have a medium, if you have a small red onion, maybe you want, and you love red onion, which I do, you might want to put it all in there. Peeled and thinly sliced. You want olives, as I said, a handful of olives, either green or black, or whatever color you like, and a lot of capers. So I have these great Pantelleria capers, so for this amount of potato, I would definitely use 2 heaping tablespoons of my capers, and then, I don't know, a lot of basil. I like a lot of basil. Tear up a lot of basil over the top of it, and then dress the whole thing with extra virgin olive oil. I would use either white wine or red wine vinegar. It doesn't matter. Just remember, if you use red wine vinegar, it might stain the potatoes, but who cares? And then oregano. Now, it's the rare time, I have to say, when I combine oregano and basil in the same dish. But in this case, I do. And in fact, I have some incredible Sicilian oregano here, so that would be perfect. So it's, to review, you know, you can make up your own proportions here. It's potato, tomato, olives, capers, basil, and if you don't have basil, or even if you do have basil, you might want to use mint instead. I find that in Sicily, very often, instead of where you might think basil is going, mint goes. And, of course, mint is related to basil, so that makes sense. Anyway, that's the insalata pantesca. But anyway, I also make, here's one that I do make frequently enough, is a salad of potatoes and string beans. Great combination. Again, boil your potatoes in the pieces that you want to eat in. Could be big, could be not so big. Boil the potatoes, and by the way, if it's a thin-skinned potato, I don't bother peeling them. So you boil the potatoes until they're tender, and then you drain them and toss them with already cooked string beans. I do mine 8 minutes in boiling water. That usually makes them tender enough. If they're thin string beans, young string beans, maybe even less. But we like well-cooked string beans in this house. So well-cooked string beans, so for, I don't know how many potatoes, for a pound of potatoes is a lot. Let's say a pound of potatoes, you want a half a pound of string beans, and then red onion, again, a half of a small red onion is usually enough, thin slicely. Toss it all together with oil and good vinegar, or instead of vinegar, if you want something a little less tart, lemon juice. But I must say, I do love the lemon juice way. I usually make it with vinegar, red wine vinegar, in fact. And if you want to throw capers into that, it's very good also. So take care, everyone. Keep cool.
Have a good week.
You're going to need to work at that.
Thank you, Food Mensch. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.